Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome to Are You Having a Draft? My name is Bradley James and I am joined by
myself, Marcus Ellard.
We've reached it, Marcus, part four of four. We always knew it was going to be a four-parter, especially when we said it was going to be three parts. We definitely
especially when we thought it was going to be two.
And here we are, part four. Thanks for sticking with us. You'll be pleased to know that all the drafters in this episode are slightly quicker in their interviews. There is a swiftness of a foot about them and their answers, largely because by this point of draft day, everyone downstairs had started to complain. The barbecue's novelty had run out because everyone was full, and so it wasn't able to placate everybody for much longer. Everyone going up to do their interviews at this stage put a bit of pace into it, shall we say.
I think people were just eager to get started with the actual draft, but it was reaching boiling point and no one could wait any longer.
Everyone had all those drafting ideas. They'd all been up to talk about them with Jose and Luca. They were just excited. They'd had the anticipation drummed up by their pre-match interview that they'd given. We still had the presentation to go, Marcus. We weren't even anywhere close to drafting by this point.
You know what? The presentation actually then, I think that settled a lot of those anxious drafters. I think it kind of broke the atmosphere. And then it felt like a pre-match kind of entertainment. Like, almost like cheerleaders.
With, unfortunately, no one anywhere near as attractive as a cheerleader involved in the opening ceremony that we had, but still, it was entertaining. We will bring you some of the opening ceremony, actually.
I love that how I went for pre-match entertainment and you went for opening ceremony. You've gone really grand. It's gone from like a couple of speeches to being a full 2012 opening ceremony.
It's growing, isn't it? It grows every year. There seems to be more to do. There seems to be more people to try and make a fool of. And we certainly extended this year from what was last year. I hope it continues to grow.
It will. I'm looking forward to reliving it.
Excellent. Well, here are some draft day interviews to relive, mainly for those who were present and actually heard them the first time round. For us, we get to hear them for the first time, as do our listeners. Here we go, listeners. Let's get on with draft day interviews, part four of Meet the Press.
Bradley, are you having a draft?
Sure on, mate!
On to our next drafter, and our next drafter, well, this is a different type of interview.
Oh, the suspense is already killing me.
Now, at this point of the day, because a certain interviewer, who's been doing a very good job since he arrived of getting on a more linear path.
Yeah, driving the interviews.
Yeah, because of the lateness of one of the interviewers by this point of the day are pushing a bit late into the day. People are wanting to get drafting by this stage. There's still things to do. Yeah. And so this drafter has gone up with the instructions to get things moving. Now, I talked about different energies earlier. There's two people who have very different energies to Jose for different reasons. One is meds. The other is this guy. And I also mentioned that there's two versions of this guy. There's the happy-go-lucky, creates a party okay. version.
Yeah.
Then there is the morose, pretty miserable, dour version. Which version do you think Jose's about to be on the receiving end of?
The latter.
That would be correct.
I'm already enjoying every single second of this. I'm already laughing. Bring it on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Philip Cairns.
So far, so we're going to wait for Luca, real quick.
We have to be fast.
Join us. Say again?
We have to be fast.
Do we?
Yeah, we have to be fast, because you've been doing this for too long, and it's fucking... It's not because... We have to go on, don't we?
Yeah, we do. So let's make this as quickly as we possibly can.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start, and then Luca will come in. So, how are you today? All good?
Hungover.
Feeling it? Hungover?
Yeah, hungover.
So, in terms of confidence with this new format, this new Legacy League format,
yeah.
How confident are you in terms of winning?
I'm not confident at all.
Why is that?
It's just a complete gamble, hello mate. Anyone can win it, it's just if you've got to pick the right players, and if someone else picks the right players, then they win.
Okay. So,
I might pick them, but I mean, a 1 in 15 chance of picking all the right players.
Okay. So what's going to be your tactic then?
Just go through a list, and then when people haven't picked guys that I want, then I'll pick them.
Okay.
So who would be your top three that you'd want?
Salah, Sterling, Fernandes.
Fernandes. Mm-hmm. Right. I have a question for you, mate. So you have finished... the last three seasons in the catering zone.
Yeah.
Is this new format suit you better than the auction draft?
I don't know. It depends, because on paper it does, yeah, but I don't know if that's true.
Okay. All right.
Because, you know, if you get outbid, you get outbid.
Mm.
Or if you pick later, then you pick later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you got a secret pick?
No.
Nobody?
No secret picks, no.
Are you trying to hide it though? Are you trying to not give out too much information?
No, because this is nobody listens to this apart from you guys.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Who do you want in the later rounds?
Who do I want in the later rounds?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Which players do I want?
Which
to
players?
Pick?
Yeah.
I mean, if anyone who's going to be like starting, scoring lots of goals. Or getting lots of clean sheets.
Give me an example.
For example, I don't know. If Rashford's still available in round 8, then I'd like him.
Rashford?
Yeah, but he won't be, I expect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I hope the best for you. Who would you like to win, if it couldn't be you?
Marcus?
Why?
Or Johnny, or Bradley, or... Bradley, actually.
Bradley and Marcus, that'd be good, yeah, for the... Because they're doing the podcast and that.
And if there was one that will win,
yeah,
who would it be?
Oh, I don't know, man. What do you mean, who will win?
Yeah, so the first question was
who would you like to win?
Yeah.
This
is not going, who do you think was actually going
to
win?
I don't know, I have to wait to see who has the best team. Last season, you could say Nick will win. Based on his team.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on, I could say Nick, yeah, but then he might get a terrible team. Or they may all get injured, or whatever.
You never know.
On the other side of the table, who do you think is going to get the wooden spoon?
Yari, probably.
Second year in a row.
Well, is that what you're hoping?
Well, no, not particularly. I mean, again, who knows? He might have the best team, so he won't get wooden spoon.
Who's your biggest rival?
Everyone, I guess.
Everyone is.
Yeah.
Is there one particular that you want to watch out for?
No.
No.
No. Well, until I know who everyone has, then it's not. You never know.
All right. Fair enough.
What interesting predictions do you make for this season?
Bradley and Johnny will bicker. Yari will talk nonsense. Pete will talk about algorithms. I'll do lots of trades.
Sounds like
standard stuff, yeah.
It sounds like the good old same old, same old.
Yeah.
And in terms of the listeners, why should the listeners support your team, and how would you like them to show their support?
To be perfectly honest, if they want to support my team, they can. But I don't have any reason for them to support me in particular.
There's not a specific way that you want them to.
Well, I don't support a football team, so I don't really want anyone to support me.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I think it's a strange thing to do.
On that note,
cheers.
Cheers. Do you have a Bloody Mary?
Bloody Mary, yeah.
Oh, man. Excellent. Best of luck, brother. Thank you very much.
Who's next? Who's next?
That was amazing. That was amazing. It's like rewatching those old Clough interviews.
Oh, God.
Where the Clough just literally has no time for the interviewer.
It's sort of like watching a mouse go and like clean the teeth of a lion. We've got to remember that Jose's first language isn't English, it's Spanish.
Amazing.
Now, he obviously speaks English like it is his first language. But there's a moment at the very beginning of that interview where you suddenly remember that it's not his first language.
I've written he threw Jose off his
completely
stride.
Throws him off
just
his stride.
I was going to say hello. I don't think he even said hello. He said, come on, you fuckers, we need to hurry up because you're being too fucking slow.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like, if you don't know Phil.
In fact,
the first time I met Phil, I was like, I think I said something like, you are a bit of a miserable git, aren't you? Like, because he was just so. He's just burp when he meets somebody first time.
That was the most enjoyable interview for me. And I think purely, it must be because I know and love Phil, loved every second of that interview.
Yeah, part of me thinks you have to know Phil to enjoy that as much as we just did. Because I think people are going to hear that and they're going to be like, who's this guy? What's the point of that?
What I thought was...
Whereas if you know him.
Yeah. There are football managers that have done this. Maybe it was Alex Ferguson that did that kind of thing where he kept answering questions. Well, we won't know that until the league actually starts, will we? Until we see the teams. So hypothetical did not exist to Phil that day. He was being so like down the line with it.
I'm going to take full responsibility for that car crash, basically, because one, I didn't warn Jose about Phil. I mean, I didn't know which version of Phil they were going to get, to be honest.
He'd been at like a Holy Communion in Glasgow.
Yeah.
And had an absolute session, got on the first plane out of Glasgow the next day.
Yeah, good on him.
And was with us by 11.
And in fairness to Phil, I was talking about those moments where you sort of... I already had a moment with Phil a couple of years ago where I realised that it actually meant something to him.
Yeah.
The draft.
Yeah.
I shan't go into it, but like this time round, I saw him at a distance. You and I were standing in the pavilion. And
I love that sentence. That is the best sentence.
And I saw him at a distance, not because of specifically seeing his face, but from seeing his energy.
Bouncy.
He was running. Yeah. Now, he's hungover. He even says it in the interview. He was hungover, but he was running to get there on time.
Yeah.
And despite the kind of, as I say, I use the word again, the kind of morose demeanour, he is happy to be
subdued.
There.
Subdued. Let's use...
That's not subdued, mate.
What, that? We listened to
what we just listened to was not subdued. That was
gold.
Venomously aggressive in a very placated way, in a very calm down way. So I didn't warn Jose about that, and we got a bit of Phil gold there in one version of Phil. And so Jose suddenly met with this situation, handles it pretty well once he gets over that initial stumbling block. Then there's one point where Jose must have genuinely thought he was sitting with a psychopath. Because Phil just suddenly burst out into a laugh. And he's like, this table, which I'm sat at now, is where they were sat. You're a foot... You're exactly 2 metres away from each other. And all of a sudden, you've got Phil sat there. And he's just doing his thing where he's like, yeah, no, don't know. Probably didn't release eye contact the whole time. And then all of a sudden, he just goes...
What was it he was laughing at? I
think it's when Phil realised how morose he was being. I think that's when he realised the joke of himself, the parody of himself he was being.
But it wasn't until the very, very moment until we heard that from Phil, And all the way through, he's sitting there with a Bloody Mary and a stick of celery in it. So just have that. So just have that as an image.
In his football kit.
Football kit, Bloody Mary.
Comes up with the Bloody Mary. Hurry up, you're being shaked.
Don't support a football team is a very strange thing to do.
I don't want your support.
I'm sure I've seen him in a Celtic shirt at some point.
I've seen him in a Scotland shirt. Never seen him in a Celtic shirt. Jose doesn't know who Rashford is. When Phil's saying, who do you want in the later rounds? And Phil goes, Marcus Rashford, who, by the way, went to pick 12. Jose takes it seriously. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, Rashford. And he's like, right, yeah. Rashford, all right.
Well, Rashford, and Phil was being deliberately provocative. Right?
Yeah.
Because Rashford's going to go really early.
Also, mate, almost a little moment of celebration for you. Sort of got doused. The flames of that got doused a little bit, but
yeah. When he said, "Who would you like to win the league?" he said, "Marcus." I did a silent cheer.
Yeah,
because obviously we listened to the thing.
And then he named everybody else in the draft.
Yeah. I even wrote my name down. I wrote my actual name down in case I didn't realise I was talking about me, Marcus. I've written Marcus down on my notes. Well, it was nice while it lasted. I think I must have really pissed some people off.
Why? What makes you say that?
Nobody wants me to win. Nobody, like, no one's like, oh, Marcus has been doing it for years as well. Nobody even cares I've been doing it for years. Who do you want to win? Oh, be great for the DR and win it twice.
People are suggesting the safe options, Marcus.
Yeah.
You, well, at the moment, are not a safe option. You are not...
we'll see.
You're not an open goal in that regard. If you want to win points with the listeners, you say, I would like Melaleu to win. I would like Meds to win. It is easy manipulation because it is. Tell me I'm wrong.
Carry on.
I'll listen to you. If you say I'm wrong, if you've got a counter argument, I will listen to you.
I'm still listening to your argument. Go on.
You want good PR? You say answers like, oh, I don't really care. I'm happy to be here. I'd like someone else to, you know, you play the altruism card.
It's like when footballers say, oh, it's not about my hat trick, it's more important for the victory. For
exactly.
The team.
Footballers are liars.
Well done, Phil.
Well done, Phil. We move on to somebody perhaps slightly more cheerful than Phil. Certainly more optimistic.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, and his name is Matthew Brummett.
So, how are you feeling today, man?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, a lot better than last year.
So, talking a little bit about last year, because this year we have the new format, the new Legacy League format. Mm. How do you feel about this format, and does it bring confidence in terms of winning?
Well, I guess it's a two-parter, really, because there's the change back to the snake draft initially, if you park the Legacy element of it. Which is more my kind of thing. I think my knowledge is pretty good. So last year, I think I had the issue that players would listen. I'd say, I'll put a player up, and they'll say, oh, well, Brummett wants him. Mm. So then they'll go after him and pay my money. They can't do it this year. I can pick my own players, so that's good. The Legacy format, I'm not really factoring it in. I know that's probably bad long-term strategy, but I think you can definitely overthink it and think, oh, well, this guy's going to be good in 3 years. I'm just going to pick my team. Right. It'll maybe factor in at the end when I get to my 12, 13 pick. Mm. I'm maybe more likely to get someone who's 19 than I am someone who's on his way to the league, maybe. Right. But for the majority of the team, it's only a minor factor into my strategy, really.
And what would be your tactic going forward for the whole season?
Because I usually get really drunk at the draft, so I have to tinker my team a lot. But I've got this is my first day out since having a little baby boy. So
congratulations!
Thank you very much. So I've just got I'm just going to be on the Diet Coke today, so I don't have that as a factor.
If we had to name top three players for you, what would they be?
I've talked about this a bit, but I think that these aren't necessarily the guys that are going to score the highest points, but I think they're probably the next safer bets. I think I'd probably go Raheem Sterling first. Okay. Then the top six. The top six being Sterling, De Bruyne, Sané. Not Sané, it's not like Mané. Salah, Fernandes, and now Aubameyang. Mm. They're the big six. And I think that they'll probably go first six. Trent Alexander-Arnold is a fantastic player, but I think it'd take a lot of ball to sign him top three. So I don't really know, but Sterling will be my one after that. I'm not sure.
You for sure you're set on one so far.
Well, I won't get him. I've got 14th pick, so I'm going to be. That is just more of a hypothetical for me. None of those players will get even near me. I'm going to be fighting in the doldrums. But hypothetically speaking, if I did have to pick, that's who I'd probably
have. Have you got a secret pick that no one else has thought of?
I doubt it, actually, this year. I think there's the amount of research has shot up. I don't think that there's... I think there's maybe... There's a few players that may have been undervalued. I think Ayling, who's one of the Leeds fullbacks, I think it's going to do better than people make out. But then you've got people like Mantle, who has done way more research than anyone else. So anyone that I thought of, he knows. Pete has valued every single player in the league. So there's no one... It's not like it was three seasons ago. No one's falling through the cracks. It's all about under and over valuations. And I think that that's where the difference is going to be. It's like taking a player who... people think he's a 12th round pick, getting him beforehand, when he's actually, in reality, should be a 9th round pick.
Yeah.
Which sounds tenuous, but that's what probably wins you the draft.
Okay, and who do you want in your later rounds?
I think my strategy might be a bit different. A lot of people spunk on midfielders because they're quite sexy. They generate a lot of points. But actually, if you look at like value-based drafting models and you actually take a look at... There are so many midfielders on the game that, you may get more... Midfielders may score more points, but the differentials didn't change. Yeah. So I think there are less high-scoring forwards and defenders. So I'm maybe going to probably weigh them a bit higher, get them early, and later on I'll be looking to pick up maybe good attacking midfielders that other people haven't got yet. Yeah, Trossards, players like that.
Who would you like to win the draft, other than yourself?
It's a bit of a double-edged sword. So Andy's my best mate in the draft. We lived together at uni, like, God, over 13 years ago or something now. So he would wind me up a lot about it, but I think I've got to be the nice guy. I'm a father now. I've got to be the kind of man. And, so I'll go with Andy to win it.
Okay. All right, on that note, Andy has actually said that he thinks that Marley will win the draft before you this season. What do you make of that?
I think it's probably accurate. I think I've got a feeling that I'll have the draft. I think I'll be always the bridesmaid, never the bride. But I think I'll always be up there. I think I'm one of the better guys. But I think I'm probably not risk-taking enough to maybe take it. But I don't think I'll ever be bottom three.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a rivalry between you and Marcus.
It's one of those one-way rivalries. It happens all the time where there's like a bigger club, and it's so Liverpool and Everton's a good example.
Right.
I don't really care about Everton that much. They really care about Liverpool. It's like me and Marcus. I don't really mind what Marcus is doing, but he's obsessed with it.
So is your rivalry between Marcus bigger than the one that you have with Andy?
I only have a rival with Andy. Marcus has a rival with me. I don't have a rival with him. It's more like, it's just ridiculous. It's like the lion being upset by an ant. It's not going to factor into me.
Okay, cool. Because, Bradley really does think that, the fans didn't even notice you and Andy last season. What do you make of that?
But that's the thing. Like, it's Bradley's an entertainer, isn't he? That's what he cares about. He cares about public appeal. I'm an accountant. I'm a financial. I've got my own financial.
You're a numbers guy.
Business. I sit in the background and reap rewards. What the public think of me is not my interest.
Okay.
Right. And who do you think? Well, I know you said who you would like to win. Who do you think is going to take it?
Mantle's the best drafter, but he's got an awful pick at 11. Wolf, I think I'm going to go with Wolf. Wolf's a very good drafter, and he's got pick 6, which is, I mentioned before, there are 6 best players. So he gets one of those 6 top players, but he also gets his second round pick before the other lads. So I think Wolf will win it this year.
All right, let's flip the coin a little bit. Who do you think will get the wooden spoon this year?
I think now it's gone back to a snake draft. I think it'll be, unfortunately, Meds, which is a shame. He's a lovely lad, but he just doesn't have the knowledge of the other guys.
Oh, okay.
I hope he doesn't. I'd love for him to stay out of it, but yeah.
Excellent.
And for the season, you got any interesting predictions for it?
Yeah, I think Bradley's going to have a very bad year this year. But I think it's because he's weighted his picks that he's going to do very well in future seasons. Because I think he's thinking more long term, but I think it means he's going to have a bad year, and he could, if anything happens with his first pick, the third pick overall, I think he's going to end up in the catering zone.
Okay. Who's your biggest rival?
So it's, from a kind of a personal point of view, it's Andy. From a kind of who's at my level, who's a realistic rival, I'd say I'm probably pitching around Dutz, I'd say. I think he's more my level. We'd be fighting. We're kind of probably in the kind of third, fourth, fifth. We're not Mantle level, but we know our football, and we're going to be sniffing around that.
And for your listeners, for your supporters, how would you like them to show their support?
I'd like them not to speak to me. I don't need that. They need me, and that's the relationship that I should be. It's very, very one-way. I'm not. I do please because I'm naturally a very gregarious, intelligent, and beautiful man. So people will flock to me. I've had that all my life. But that they get from that relationship, it's very much like me and Marcus sort of saying he gets a lot from pretending he's got a ride with me while I don't care about his existence. It's like my fans, you know, they, and it's lovely hypothetically that they like me, you know, that if that brings joy to their life, but does that change my life? Oh, no, it doesn't.
So you're saying they get more out of the relationship than you?
More extreme than that I get nothing out of their existence. Yeah, if I had no fans tomorrow or a million fans, it wouldn't affect me. But the only positive thing is that they get to have me in their life, which I know is brilliant for them, but right. It doesn't affect any.
We need positivity and we need things to hold on to in times like this.
Yeah, exactly.
You're saying that you can't be that person.
Well, I don't want to be that person. It's a bit like, you know, Jesus didn't turn up saying, I'm going to come and save you. They just looked up to him and say he was... I'm not saying I'm the Son of God. I'm not saying I'm not, but I'm just saying that I bring that indirectly, right. And that's what's important.
On a note of comparison to Jesus, I think that is an excellent way to end that part. Thank you very much for joining
us. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a lovely time.
Well, well, well.
Bigger than Jesus.
I am fortunate enough to be sat opposite what might be described as the victim of that interview. That is Mr. Marcus Allard.
Yeah.
I think the gauntlet has been thrown down, sir. How do you feel?
Oh, no, I just thought I was being quite realistic about it all, really, when I talk about it. I think that's a realistic thing. I think it's quite a realistic thing. And he did the Liverpool-Everton thing, which obviously is also a dig at Andy. I get it. We'll see. We'll see how this season goes. No, I think it's fair. I think, you know, I can't remember being blown away by Brummett's draft performances. He talks a really good talk, definitely.
Does and
he
talk really good.
But whatever happens, I've never thought, oh my gosh, he's going to win this year. So that I'm just being realistic about it. I could have sat here and sat opposite you and said, you're my rival.
Mm.
But I know that this season you've got a very... Or like the way that you traded and drafted and stuff, you've got very good... I could have sat there and said, Nick's my rival, but he won it last year. You know, I was trying to be realistic.
I think, funnily enough, through Brummett's response, you are very much the biggest rivals of the entire league.
That's hilarious.
And from the response that we've had from listeners, that is what they would say too.
Really? I'm just being realistic about it. I think I'm being realistic about
it. I actually agree with you
I'm not even trying to like start a fight or anything. Like, I just think that's just...
But I also think Brummett is being provocative on purpose.
Yeah.
Almost maybe... to consciously or subconsciously stoke those fires. But the listeners at home, the biggest rivalry they comment on is the rivalry between you and Brummett.
Also, the value-based drafting models, I didn't fall out there, but I was like, this sounds like it's going down a convoluted kind of way.
I feel like he may have had those in previous seasons, and maybe with the auction draft, that hasn't necessarily worked out too well for him. Let's see if it brings different fortunes...
I think he was playing... Obviously, he was playing a game here as well, because I've just looked at my notes. At the very beginning of the interview, he essentially said, this will benefit him better because he essentially said, I know a lot and other people gained from it. So when he suggested a player, for example, and he claims that everyone's been, oh yeah, that's like, I'm going to have that pay, he's well good, and he's been outbidded. As an accountant, to be outbidded... I don't believe that.
Well, also, I feel like he said that tongue-in-cheek as well. Off the base... Well, actually, maybe he didn't say that tongue-in-cheek, but... In fact, no, he didn't say that tongue-in-cheek at all. I'm trying to throw him a bone. But basically, what he's describing last year is he would name popular players, players that were going to be in demand, and then when people went, oh, actually, I'll have him. He didn't have any money, so he couldn't compete, and he was like... Well, the only reason you're going for him is because I'm going for him.
We've actually got footage from the draft day saying that. I remember we played it. Yeah, I remember we did
so
that.
So he's tied himself in a bit of a knot there. I don't think listeners are going to be fooled by that. But I do like the fact that Brummett is a bit of a wild card. He's had a mixture of fortunes. He goes up and down the table like a yo-yo. And who knows where he's going to finish this season. That was Matthew Brummett.
Entertaining as always.
as ever, and we move ourselves on to another man who is also aware of us being on the clock, yeah, as it were, and hopefully it hasn't affected his interview too much. Again, we're not naming any names as to why we were running this late. Because who would ever thought London had traffic, Marcus?
Oh, yes, good point, good point.
I've never known it to have traffic, have you?
No, certainly not the weekend.
No one wants to go anywhere on the weekend, on a nice sunny day.
Yeah.
Anyway, we hand you over to the capable hands of the fridge-destroying Peter Everill.
Have some sanitizer there, how are you?
Very well, yeah.
How are you feeling?
Very good. You're going to get short answers, chaps, because I'm ready to get drafted.
Oh, you're that excited?
Yeah.
Well, let's just jump into it then.
Oh, bloody hell. Give me a minute, I'll just...
Breathe in.
I'm getting up the stairs. Yeah, go on.
As you breathe in a little bit of air. First, bottom, one place above catering zone, right? Mid-table. Are you a yo-yo outfit?
No.
Oh, you were serious about this. Okay.
Yeah.
You seem confident. You seem very confident.
Yeah.
Are you confident about the new format of the league, the Legacy League?
Yeah.
You're confident about winning?
I'm confident about winning. I don't know whether it'll be this year.
So you're playing a long game?
We'll find out.
Okay.
What is your tactic?
It'll depend on who else everyone else picks. So I've got a few strategies, and I'll wait and find out.
Name one.
Well, you can either build for the future or you can build for this season. It depends on which players get picked before me.
Who are your top picks? Who are your top three picks?
I'm not sure yet.
You're not sure yet?
So you want to be spontaneous?
Yeah. I've got a list of about 150 players. So whichever one is next that hasn't been taken.
Okay. Who do you want in the later rounds?
Harry Kane.
Yeah. Why Harry Kane?
Because he's really good.
So you think no one's going to pick him anyway?
No, I'm joking. Right, so who do I want in the later rounds? Fucking hell. Hopefully some players that actually play first team football and not bench warmers.
Right. Have you got a secret pick? That one person that you have in your back pocket?
I very much doubt any of the players that I can possibly come up with a secret, because I think everyone's well researched, and I think it's more... The interesting thing is how early you go on your secret pick.
Okay, you mentioned that everybody's very well informed. Then in that case, do you have someone who you want to win?
In terms of from the draft lads?
Yes.
Not really. No. So I'd like someone who hasn't won it before to win it.
Okay. All right. And in terms of who do you feel like will win?
Bradley.
Why?
Because I think he's played a very smart strategy. A little bit surprised by how others have traded transfer picks with him, but basically you stand more chance of winning the earlier you pick your players, and so he, although he's forgone some of his earlier picks, actually he'll have picked 10 of his players by the time everyone's still picking like their 6th and 7th round pick. So smart move. He basically gets rid of his lower later stage picks and has bumped them up earlier, so he'll have done his business early, which means he'll get to pick the lower level players earlier, which means he's got a good chance of winning.
Let's flip the table. Who do you think is going to get the winner's pick?
Potentially me, depending on what strategy I take.
Right.
Who's your biggest rival, mate?
Who's my biggest rival, right? Yare.
Why is that?
Because just no one wants him to win.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because you'll never hear... We love him, but you'll never hear the end of it.
I hear he's a very big talker.
Yeah, he's a big talker, too much so. I mean, he's still a big talker and he's finished bottom. He's currently the wooden spoon holder and he still talks the most out of everyone. I think psychologically, I'm not sure he's quite there in terms of, I don't think he even acknowledges that he's got a wooden spoon.
So, but do you think he'll get a second?
No, because he's not here today, so someone else is picking his team, so he's going to do much better than he would do if he was here to pick his team.
That's the kind of stuff that I want to get into.
You got any interesting predictions for the season?
Bradley will go for a legacy player for his first round pick. So Bradley will go for someone who we can hold for the next 10 years as his first pick. Being the drafter that he is, and coming with the experience and the knowledge of the NFL and how this works, and where we've sort of got the inspiration from. He's going to go for what the NFL would call a franchise player.
You handed Nick the Abda last year by dropping players he benefited from.
Yeah.
Is that going to make you too timid to make the big decision this season?
Well, have you heard about my algorithm?
We have. I have.
Get your stories straight, chaps. I think Nick would have won the league anyway, or probably should have won the league anyway, without me making some changes. But I basically did some predictions of how things would go and used that to inform my decisions last year. Funnily enough, the changes that I made a couple of weeks into the season were against my algorithm and were using my gut. And obviously, that was a mistake. So I'll be trusting the logic of it more than my own rationale.
Okay.
And let's talk about the supporters. Why should they support your team, and what would you want them to do in support?
Be very surprised if I've got any supporters. But if I did have some supporters, like my Instagram posts.
Instagram, do you want them to do any kind of post, hashtags?
Oh yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Face? I'd like to see some people going around in replica Evil FC kits.
Nice.
Who can come up with the best replica Evil FC kit?
All right, there you go. So you want a contest of all supporters.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
The best kit wins what, exactly? Prize of your best supporter?
I'll also a competition who can nominate the best prize that they think that sort of effort should be rewarded with.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Very, very clever, Pete Everill. I loved listening to that. I feel like he was really insightful last year. I feel like I know there's two sides. I know Pete as my mate, and we obviously all used to live together. That's the side of Pete I know, like, and love and all that. I feel like this side of Pete is like his work side. His job is it's that analysis, isn't it? Analytics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that was really clear in this, because I put like he's very analytical, but also I love the fact that depending on those first few people that were picked, and I think Pete was fifth, right?
Fifth,
correct. So depending on the people that were picked in the first four were obviously ones that his strategy would have been different for, because he has gone for, he's got this, you build for the season or you build for the future, and Pete's built for the future.
He has indeed.
And I sat next to him and me and Med sat next to him and he was very, again, focused, and he obviously had several different strategies that were running in parallel. And when one person got picked, he got rid of that strategy. When another person got picked, he got rid of that strategy. And I think they're bump. And he literally decided, and he was like, well, I can't win it this season, so I'm going to build for the future. And he has.
Amazingly, despite countless incidents that I have witnessed to the contrary, Pete is one of the most intelligent people I know.
100%.
I have witnessed many things to suggest that isn't true. But he has those moments that when he is focused, when he is honed in on an idea of something, on a theory of something, he is remarkably intelligent.
Eyes on the prize.
He's also one of the wittiest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
And I think that is indicative of his intelligence.
Again, my mind has been blown. Oh, Andy as well. Like, they do similar sort of jobs, though, don't they? Do they do similar sort of jobs?
I mean, both white collar. That's about but as far like, as I can tell
again,
you.
Again, my mind, the way that Peter's approached it, my mind's been a bit blown. I'm not, oh my God, Pete's amazing. I'm not speechless like that. I'm a little bit still trying to get my head around how it all works. And no showmanship. No sort of like giving it, I'm bigger than Jesus and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is one way we describe like how we described how like The Rock off air or something, how The Rock became famous. It was because he was such a bad guy, but he was so good at being a bad guy.
Yeah.
Everyone loved him. And all.
Alan Rickman,
100%. But Pete is like no nonsense. Pete mentioned then about, oh, I'd be very surprised if I got fans. He'll pick up fans from that because he's just like, he's straight down the line. It's almost like when Wenger came to the Premier League, or Premiership as it was back then, when Wenger came in, people were like, what is this guy all about? He was just a little bit ahead of the game, and then he completely revolutionised the Premier League. Whether, you know, yes, obviously he was stuck in a rut and he ended up having to go, but I think Pete's a little bit ahead of the game here.
I'm excited for our listeners to hear what happened on draft day, because Pete had by far and away the most exciting draft day. Certainly got the biggest reactions.
But now hearing, again, this is the brilliant thing about doing it the way we're doing it, which I mentioned in episode the first way round, is we're listening to this in hindsight. And if we'd have listened to that and then see and then heard his draft, I'm jealous of the listeners, because they will get to hear that and then they'll get to hear his draft and go, oh, that makes so much sense. He's very clever.
Yeah.
Whereas we were all like, what the fuck are you doing? Oh, yeah. fucking shit, pick, throwing stuff at him. And he's just going, yep, well, you know.
It's very much a reversal on last season when he was going,
I'm bloody loving it, Barbeacher.
Yes.
I think he might have learnt from it, because he did. He got rattled, didn't he?
He did get rattled.
This season, no rattle in that cage.
No.
Because he was one of the last ones. He just wanted to get drafting. It had been going on a little bit too long for Pete.
Boom, yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
There you are, ladies and gentlemen. Peter Revel.
For the listeners we were about to go into our last one. Although we've got four episodes here, you and I have actually done this on one night. I feel like I've been through the ringer tonight. I've laughed. I've like had my mind blown. Andy's interview feels like 3 days ago, and Andy's blown my mind last time. So I feel like this is really interesting.
I love the fact that even just you and I, we get to see a side of the drafters which we don't normally get. They open up in a different way to whichever interviewer we have. Zach brought out certain things last season. Jose and Luca are bringing out different things this season that we wouldn't see, because down there, as I'm pointing to the back garden, there's all this sort of bravado and fun and games that
goes
on.
You can hear it in interviews. You all laugh.
Yeah, in the background you hear us all laughing and joking, and then when they get upstairs, the answers are very revealing, I suppose, of characteristics. Some you can kind of predict, I suppose. Others just give away a little something that you weren't expecting.
So, last but not least, I believe we're going to listen to the interview of one Bradley James.
We are indeed. I was obviously, probably from a production point of view, I was also aware of the time issue here, and I don't think it's particularly rushed, but they're swifter answers than I usually would give. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here's yours truly.
All right, good sir. We're doing cooking. We saved the best for last.
Good.
The commissioner, the creator.
Head
How are you feeling?
Feeling great after being given those titles. Such a warm welcome. How are you guys doing?
So good. Far, so good.
Thank you so much for your patience today, doing all this for us.
Well, we've had a blast meeting everyone with all the personalities and stuff like that, and I'm very eager to hear your take on all this.
I'm eager to give it to you, Jose and Luca. Fire away. What you got for me?
First question that I want to ask you.
Yeah.
I want to sort of get into, you know, your mind in terms of tactics, right? You organize all this, the podcast. Are you embarrassed that you have not won since the first season?
Embarrassed? No, I wouldn't say so. At the moment, no one's won more than one.
Okay.
And I think the embarrassment kicks in if lots of people start to win too.
Right.
I've had a couple of occasions where I've come close to my second.
Okay.
This season might indeed be that time when I get my second star.
Ooh, I like that confidence.
Are you confident about this new legacy format?
I'm confident about the way you guys are conducting this interview. I love the body language. It's fantastic. Am I confident about this legacy format?
Yes.
I am confident that it will be very intriguing, very interesting for the drafters. It's brought a new kind of spin on the way we were doing things. And I like the fact that it has introduced a level of forward thinking that we haven't had before. Your every decision that is made now is going to echo through the seasons as opposed to just being written off at the end of it. And I like that because it means that people have to be more accountable for those decisions.
With this new change, do you have a tactic for the season? Something that is a little bit different than before?
I'm glad you asked that, Jose. I have made the most trades already. There's not even a player's name on the board, and I've made loads of trades. And the reason for this is mostly so to not be boring.
Okay.
Felt like I should spice things up. What my trades have meant is that I will be done by pick 153. There's 240 picks. If I've fallen down anywhere in the past, it's been because my squad has not been well-rounded. Now, unless I do terribly when I'm picking the players, I should have certainly a more well-rounded squad than I've had in the past. That's my tactic. I'm going to have one huge name at pick three, and then I've given up 2-3, my fourth round pick, and I've got picks all in the middle. So I'll have a host of very average players alongside hopefully a superstar who doesn't get injured.
And speaking of superstars, top three players that you would like?
For me, anyone who drafts Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is finishing the top three this season. Fernandes at Manchester United is nailed on first pick. I've also got my eye on Raheem Sterling, the third, in that list.
Do you have a secret pick? One that is slipping through the radar, if you will?
I said Dwight McNeil last year. I don't think he is as much of a secret this year. I would say, I would hope that Ramsdale, who's just signed for Sheffield United, might fall through the cracks because he was at Bournemouth last year. They didn't have a good defence. He's got a better defence in front of him. And I might be able to pick him up further back in the rounds.
Fair enough.
And in those later rounds, who else would you pick up other than Ramsdale?
Young lad at Liverpool, Brewster, striker. I'd be picking him up because he's very young and he might come good in future seasons. If I could get him at 16th pick, you've got a guy who could remain in your team for 15 years. Before having to make a decision on it. And in 15 years' time, he'll be in his 30s. But Brewster, Liverpool. Let's see if I can get him at pick 16.
I want to talk a little bit about drafters and everyone in there. I mean, you're a champion, but apart from yourself...
Sir, you charmer.
Apart from yourself,
yeah.
Who would you like to win?
It's about time Johnny Wolf won.
Wolf.
He gets the hardest time, deservedly so. It would be nice to continue the theme that we have of a new name being on the trophy. As I said, no one's won it twice. It's got to be time. I think he's got a hurdle, a personal hurdle to overcome first. He struggles with fair trades. He's not able to offer up something. Like, he's scared of risk when it comes to trading.
Right.
If I'm trading with you, I've got to offer up something of value to get something that I think might become of value. He has a lot of fear around that. He's a very good drafter. I'm hoping he overcomes adversity.
Right, yeah.
And it's a real Hollywood script of a story that he has a down moment kind of midway through the season and then epiphany hits him, he makes a trade.
For me, this seems like a series in terms of how it can go up and down.
I think that's Johnny's life in general.
That's his life.
Yeah, possibly. So I think Johnny Wolf.
But who do you think will take it, other than yourself?
I was impressed by Andy O'Neill's trades. I think perhaps somebody who's already traded the season before the draft happened. He made a very clever trade. And I would look at Andy O'Neill. I would look at the format itself, I think, will make people not do as many transfers. The people who that falls into the wheelhouse of is Pete and Mantle. They do well when they can just leave their teams. Johnny is not a million miles away. Johnny Wolf would be up there. Let's say Andy, I've been impressed by his trading, and I think he's got another trade up his sleeve where someone will get shafted. He's so lovely. It's so difficult not to get shafted by him because he's just so nice with it. He just let it happen. And I think he's probably got one of those in him that can make that happen this year.
Let's flip the coin a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you think will get the wooden spoon?
Melaleu.
That was a very quick answer.
I think it's Melaleu. I think it's going to be too deflating what happened to him yesterday. I think there's a real question mark over what is going to make him pay attention this year. Because it was it's easy when you're on top. You know, he sings when he's winning. When he's not.
When he's not, he's not.
No. And I think he'll go very quiet this year, and I think he'll probably sink like a stone. And I don't want to see that happen, but I'm worried that it might.
Who do you think your biggest rival is this season?
It remains Pete. It remains Pete.
Why is that?
He's my best mate. We've been best mates since, you know, we were kids. I think I mentioned last year about our mums having coffee together, and it'd be nice for one of them to have the bragging rights over the other. I both want him to win and lose at the same time. It's a painful juxtaposition I go through. But in that, he becomes my main rival. Okay. Yeah.
In terms of predictions for this season, what are they for you? What are your predictions?
Well, I've mentioned before, whoever drafts Aubameyang will finish top three. He's been listed as a midfielder. There's no way he's not going to get over 200, probably 250 points this year. Injury is the only thing that's going to stop him from doing that, because otherwise midfielders get more points for goals, he'll get points for clean sheets, and he's still playing as a striker. So that and Andy will take transfer pick number one, and Phil will finish in the top five this season. He's done a lot of trades, and I think he's going to be well placed to do well this year, despite finishing in the bottom three in the catering zone 3 years in a row. I think he's going to finish top five.
And finally, why should the listeners support the Liberators FC?
That's an excellent question, Luca. You two boys are best placed to answer this, because once people they see the Liberator, hopefully in November of 2020, I think they'll be in support of all things Liberators, least not the fantasy football team.
I sure hope so. Draft. I sure hope so.
Exactly.
And you being the captain, how would you like them to show their support? Is there something specific that you want them to do?
Hey, let's hope they all tune in to Netflix around November time and watch The Liberator. That is the best way they could show their support.
I agree 100%. Yeah. I think they should.
I thought I'd be knocking on an open door with that one.
They should definitely watch the show. Definitely. And in order to show their support for Liberators FC, they should definitely post about it.
Yeah.
Talk about it as much. Tell their friends and families.
Spread the word.
And strangers. They should talk to strangers about this show.
I think that's a brilliant idea. Here's what I'd say. Luca, of all the episodes in The Liberator, which episode do you think they should watch?
Oh, definitely number one.
How about you?
I'm a strong advocate for them to watch all the episodes.
Yeah.
But I feel that number two is a very interesting one. It's just character development is where I'm going.
Interesting why you would choose those.
I think that it would be his best interest for everyone.
Hopefully they're going
to
keep their eyes
open. I think it's integral to the story is what I'm saying. That if you don't watch number two, you won't get the rest of the show.
Great. Yeah.
What about you?
I think they're all great.
I feel like what the supporters need to do is they have to watch one, and then they have to watch two.
And then you might as well watch three and four as well.
Exactly.
And then hopefully by November I'll be streaming away at the top of the table from a fantasy football point of view and doing Liberators proud. Who knows? We shall see.
I have my fingers crossed for you, because you do represent the Liberators. So what I'm saying is you better...
Yes, I do.
There you go. For those of you who are listening, those are the dog tags of the Liberator. So on that note, Captain, pleasure having you. Best of luck this afternoon.
Chaps, let me take this opportunity to thank you for your hard work this afternoon. Thank you for grilling our drafters, and I look forward to hearing what they had to say under the hard focus light that you shone on them.
It is an absolute pleasure, and we'll do anything for the 157th.
It's an honor.
I'm pulling the chain on the 157.
Wow. Wow. Are you in a telly program this year? Bloody hell.
I didn't realise quite just how much of my interview was self-promotion.
Yeah. I also think the fact that both of your interviewers are also in said television program, Netflix program, I think probably...
They seemed really keen to promote it.
Of course. Well, so we had, I suppose, a bit more direct from you this year, because obviously the time constraints that we were on the day.
Yeah.
But some interesting... Again, Johnny came up. Johnny came up again.
Yeah.
Which obviously you've known since we've listened to all of these. So you've been slowly digging until you get there anyway. Pete being your rival and Mel for the spoon. After all the hard work we've done with the podcast and the social media.
Yeah.
And you're doing that to him.
You say, am I doing that to him? Listen, I said I don't want it to happen.
You did.
I don't want it to be the case. But to go what he went through last season. We heard a lot from him last year. We heard a lot from him on social media. He was commenting on the Instagram posts and what have you. He was commenting on everything and getting involved and very much enjoyed the attention he got from the fan base. Does that still happen if he is not riding high? I hope so. And I believe he has it within him. So perhaps there's a piece of me that is essentially just prodding the bear.
It's kind of I suppose it must have taken a lot out of him. It's kind of like, I mean, timely because the presidential campaign's happening in America. I suppose it's like going around and campaigning, going to every single state, putting time in, putting effort in, doing all the right interviews, doing all that things, and being so close. If he'd stop, it's like that thing, you know, when say you've been busy, so busy you can't get ill. The moment you stop, you get ill. So if, and I think maybe if the league's been this close together, maybe Melo can keep that momentum going. But maybe, like you say, if he's taking that breather, it's going to be an uphill climb.
I actually think it was such a shake-up last year that I feel that the drafters who were, there was a lot of drafters who were going through, well, transitional seasons, essentially. There's a different word for it. What do I mean?
I know what you mean.
It's where Leicester won the league.
Yeah.
And in that season, Chelsea finished 10th and were going through a complete revamp, basically, and came out the other side and won the league the next year. Man City were in between great sides they had. Arsenal just did well with what they had. They weren't transitioning to anything. I think Melaleu caught a year last year where a lot of the bigger players were perhaps having a bit of a season off, almost, or a season that caught them out.
And where do you think that puts Nick then? Do you believe that Nick was, because you didn't mention Nick in your thing, but do you believe that was a bit of a beginner's luck?
I think Nick is a genuinely good drafter. I don't think you come in and win it the way he did. Or what I would maybe say is I think this season will be so much closer across the board. I feel like the format and I feel like the knowledge and experience that everybody has means it's going to be a closer run year. And I mean that in terms of more teams being involved in the title race. There were two teams top of the table last year. Nick was top from game week one.
Yeah, he was 100
and it was only either him or Melaleu who were top of the league. Nobody else.
Yeah.
And nobody else got a look in.
You mentioned in your interview there, so we'll go on this one, like, I thought it was interesting. Obviously, you said it. You said all the stuff, but this is another thing that's interesting to me. If I was talking to someone else that wasn't you sitting in front of me, I'd say I think it was really interesting that you did all that trading, knowing what you've just said then, actually, about like how it's going to be a tight season. That is the reason that you wanted to have all of your picks within the first 125 or whatever, because you needed to get the big boys in first.
What enabled me to do that is that I had pick three.
Yeah.
So at pick three, you're guaranteed a shot at someone who has potential to get 250 points.
Yeah.
Potential. That either works or it doesn't. Now, what I then have struggled with is getting a list of 11, 12 players who are going to get over 100 points. I've managed to bring in previous seasons, my transferring is usually pretty good, so I've been able to bring players in. I probably would have finished in the catering zone last season, but for the fact I was able to make a few transfers at the right time. All of a sudden, if I'm picking up sooner, I have to back myself in terms of my knowledge of players and believe that my order of pick is actually going to get me some gems higher up that list. So if I fall back into the order, I, for example, and we'll learn this later on, but my third round pick at pick 53, everyone else is getting their pick three, like pick 30 something. My third round pick was pick 53. Mm. My second round pick was pick 52.
Yeah.
Andy's second round pick was 16. So the difference there is a massive lot. But because of the way the drafting worked, for me, it felt like people slipped through the net who should have been higher up in the draft.
Yeah.
So even though I'm getting what is the equivalent to like a fourth or fifth round pick, I actually feel like the talent I was able to pick up is not too far away from a second round pick. And then by the time I'm getting to the later picks, I'm finishing off my team.
Yeah, someone like me, I might have had six more players to
pick,
whatever.
Now, that just worked because I had pick number three.
Yeah.
So I was aware that I was getting a big player. If I had Andy's pick, I would have gone the way Andy did, because Andy top-loaded.
Yeah.
To just try and break that down a bit, he basically had to forego the middle to try and get picks who were in the top 50, and he ended up with five of them.
Yeah.
So Andy's going to be, and I think I mentioned this in the interview, I'd said about the trade. In fact, Andy is who I said was
Yeah, he's favorite. The person I circled in my book here.
Yeah. And the reason I said him is because the trades he did put him in a position that just gave him a better angle than everybody else. Pete, Mantle.
Marcus.
Wolf.
Marcus. Yes, there you go.
Dutz, Nick.
It's everyone.
Have all gone with the formatted draft order.
Yeah.
With a straightforward draft order. Andy has adjusted his, and he's coming at it from a different angle. And because of that, I think he's in a better position than all of those names I've just mentioned.
Oh, you shouldn't put me in there.
Well, you asked for it.
No, no. I thought you were going to, like how earlier someone went Marcus, and I was like, oh, yes. And then,
they went,
and it was Phil.
Clash of names. Well, listen, mate, I would say you've got yourself a lovely hurdle to jump.
You got
to clear. You've got the opportunity to prove everybody wrong.
You know what? I'm really looking forward to people finding out our teams, because I think people... I'm really confident with my side.
So you should be.
When, mate, I came in today and I looked at the board, I was like, yeah, you know what?
You know what?
Done well there.
I think you've got a lot to work with. I think you're in a good place to try and make some things happen.
Also, first game week, some of my players aren't playing, so I'm looking forward to swapping them in for game week two.
Yeah, game week one was a bit of a misnomer.
Yeah.
Is that the word?
I like it.
Because of those missing fixtures.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be 2-3 game weeks before we get an idea of who's got what.
Ooh. I've said it before, I don't like wishing away my life, but I am very excited to see what happens in the next few weeks. Very excited.
Yeah. And well, we'll get to talk about what happened draft day. We'll get to talk about what everybody thinks of everyone's draft post-draft day. Yeah. We've got a lot to break down over the course of the next few game weeks.
So, Bradley.
Hopefully by the time The Liberator comes out, we'll be up to speed come November.
Have you got a show coming out, Bradley? That surpassed me.
I don't like to talk about it.
No, clearly.
I don't like to make people aware that they should tune into Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm around about November 10th.
If you've not got Netflix, get your free trial and all that. So that was, much like the season, our evening was a marathon.
Wasn't it just?
Not a sprint.
Yes.
I feel like we've covered a lot of ground there. I feel like we've been through a gamut of emotions and feelings.
Oh, yeah.
And I also feel like when I get back on the train tonight, I think I'm going to be looking at Pete's team. I'm going to look at Pete's team and see what year, and then we'll have to predict what year Pete will win in.
You know what Alan Hansen said? You don't win anything with kids.
What do you mean?
The famous Alan Hansen saying.
What? He said what?
1995, Manchester United got rid of a load of players. Blackburn had just won the league.
Oh.
Ferguson got rid of, I think it was Paul Ince.
Steve Bruce and all that lot, and Dennis Irwin, Pallister,
whole host of players they got rid of, and they played their first game against Aston Villa. They lost 3-1. Villa played them off the park. Johnny would be very pleased to have that remembered. And Alan Hansen on Match of the Day very famously said, you don't win anything with kids.
I have heard this one, now you've said it. Yeah.
Cut to the end of 1996 and those kids are lifting that trophy. There we go, ladies and gentlemen, that is our drafter interviews for season 8. Pick your favourite. Pick your favourite. Yeah. Send them a message. Some you won't be able to because they're
Or a cake, Instagram. Apparently.
Or bake them a cake. Show them your support. The more original, the better. And we look forward to providing you with coverage of how the season goes. And coming up very soon, we will break down draft day.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to these being released and hearing what our audience have to say. But not only what our audience have to say, but how the WhatsApp group pops off after our analysis. But the good thing is, throughout the rest of the season, as last season, we'll be getting all the drafters in to talk about their teams, to talk about their progress, to talk about our teams. It's not just a one-sided argument of us two sitting in a room having a go at all of them or vice versa. They do get the opportunity to come on, and I'm looking forward to having them all back this year.
The right of reply will be theirs.
Yes, absolutely. As it should be in a democratic Freethink, oh, it's too late, mate.
In a Desmondocratic.
Desmondocratic, he's another one from Melody. The Eastern European forward.
Can't wait to pick up in the August transfer window, Desmondocratic. Well, Marcus, I guess that just leaves us with thank yous. We shall start off, we've mentioned him tonight, Matthew Melaleu. He's done a lot of the artwork, a lot of the stuff you see on social media. Thank you very much for that, Matthew. An excellent job, and we believe in you.
Thank you also for all the music and our theme tune to the wonderful CJ Pandit.
CJ! Shoulda, woulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, woulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, woulda, shoulda, pal, Pandit!
Also, thank you to Kate Bellamy for the initial kickoff with all the artwork at kate.made.this.
Oh, this is a new one.
This is a new one. We have to thank him for two things. We've got to thank him for the excellent interviewing that he did for us. We also have to thank him for the photography. We've got a new guy. His name's Jose Palmer. You've heard his voice a lot tonight. At the Mr. Palmer. Mr. being MR, not the full word.
Very good. And also, as always, and last but not least, our wonderful friends and hosts at Acast.
Thank you, Acast. We appreciate it.
Brilliant. Great to actually see you in person and do this rather than over Zoom or the internet or whatever.
I know society is going that way where we are creating that virtual society, all these meetings over Zoom or what have you. But I have to say, Marcus, I think I prefer this dynamic.
Great.
And we've managed to remain 2 meters away from each other the whole time as well. Yeah. I don't know what that's done for the sound, but
we'll find out. And this is where you call me a lot more. We need to do that all again. Good.
We should also say one more thank you to Luca Barcelona, who also helped us with the interviews. Thank you, Luca.
Until next time,
draft safe.
We got Arsenal's number one. We got Arsenal's number one. We got Arsenal's number one. Leno is number two.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.